Blog Talk Radio.
Evening here. It is Tuesday, June 19th, 2007. This is the North-South Wrestling Connection that we were supposed to do last week, but we canceled it. I'm Carl, but I'm only doing a little intro before I connect the two hosts of the evening. The reason why I'm doing that, guys, is because a lot of personal things going on right now, and I just really don't have the heart to do this fully tonight with y'all. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to let two of my best friends take over for one show. And maybe if I feel up to it in the next part, I'll jump in and jump in and just go on from there. But I'm going to go for now. I'm going to keep this on, put it on mute. I'm going to listen to the show, and if I see anyone calling in, I will connect. And actually, I might just let y'all two know. And here they are, folks. I'm going to go away. Here are your hosts for the evening, Robert Seidelman and Tyler Brown.
Why, hello there.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Robert W. Seidelman, or Robert Q. Seidelman, whichever one you want to call me, alongside Tyler Brown. Normally, this is called the North-South Wrestling Connection. However, since both of us are above the Mason-Dixon line, I do believe, tonight will be known as the East-West Wrestling Connection. Would that sound appropriate?
Southern Justice. Yes, and I am your co-host, Southern Justice.
You mean you're both Dennis Knight and Mark Canterbury all wrapped up into one?
No, I'm Big Fist, the world's largest love machine.
I'd rather not go there because you'd probably be sleeping with my brother, as per to what Nikki Hammond said a couple weeks ago. Anyway, thank you for tuning in tonight. We got a lot of stuff to cover, don't we, Tyler?
I'm sure we do.
We do, because it's just been a big, big week in the world of wrestling, especially for the WWE.
Filled with WrestleCrap.
No, I wouldn't call it WrestleCrap just yet.
Well, so
not just yet. We got to let this play out first. We need
something
to let this play out first.
But something tells me this is going to go via the way of WrestleCrap, just because we all know that Vince McMahon is not dead, and he's still behind everything that's going on.
Yeah, but you got to admit, so far the storyline has actually been okay. Nothing
for
terribly
now.
Bad.
Right, but for now, I'm not exactly too optimistic about how this is going to end.
Do you think this might end up worse than the invasion?
Yes.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, we should talk about right now the major thing that happened, the two things that majorly happened on Sunday. We had the final 13 of the Raw draft. And when it all came out and it all finished, we can honestly say that SmackDown got screwed 8 ways to Sunday.
Couple ways sideways. Hey, by the way, is Nikki Hammond on the line? I swear I just heard her laugh.
1, 2, is this on?
Yes, it's on, it's on.
All right.
And ladies and gentlemen, she's not using a phone. Anyway, all right. Thanks for joining us tonight, Nikki.
Absolutely. It's a little short notice, but I'm more than interested in discussing what's been going on in the WWE over the last week, and I have some TNA information down the line.
I know, but we're all right. We will talk about TNA later on the show, but right now we really need to talk about we're going to talk about the first big thing, the finalization of the WWE draft. We had the supplemental draft, me, you, well, before you were heading out to go see Slammiversary Live, but we'll get to that a little bit later on the show when we talk about TNA. The big supplemental draft happened, and we could honestly say SmackDown got raped of their talent, of their top-tier talent, well, at least most of them, at least.
They did get hurt in this draft. I will agree with you, but this leaves the door wide open for them to pull in a lot of the developmental talent that are ready to go.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
And I believe we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, over IM, not over the show. The three people that we could see come onto the show, Burchill. I mean, not with the pirate gimmick they had last year around this time, but with his Jack the Ripper gimmick that he's been working with in OVW.
Mm-hmm.
Idol Stevens, or as he actually goes by, Aaron the Idol Stevens, where he just plays like this cocky heel guy with a couple of beautiful women hanging on each shoulder.
It sounds like a generic gimmick, but if he is allowed to have the two women like he did in OVW, this is, gentlemen, for you gentlemen, probably the best entrance this side of M&M.
I'll take your word for it, because since I'm not in the Kentucky, Ohio area like you two are, the only way I get OVW is to download it via torrent or watch clips of it via YouTube.
Well, Tyler knows exactly that the entrance I'm talking about. I would presume so.
Is that true, Tyler?
What entrance of Mr. One Paul Burchill?
No, Aaron
no, I'm talking,
Stevens.
I'm talking about Idol.
Unfortunately, due to my work schedule and me just being totally, and it sounds so stupid, but I just miss it. I can't remember to watch it. I don't know why, and I don't know how. I just forget.
No, it's forgivable. I'll run through it very quickly. It's essentially that he comes out with these two women, one on each arm. He lets them get up on the apron first. They interact with each other a moment, and then they both will backbend over the middle rope to part them properly so that Idol may step through.
Somewhat similar to an M&M style entrance, but a little bit tweaked.
It's a little bit tweaked, and I'm not. If Idol goes to CW, they might not let him have that entrance. They are a tad conservative over there.
Yeah, I don't think they'll let him have it either, especially since they're really hard nosed on that show ever since the infamous
Hassan.
Yeah, the Hassan terrorist incident, which was taped before the actual. England terrorist thing happened.
Wasn't that UPN though, not CW?
They're owned by the same people.
Okay.
Right. It's the same guy. So I would be very cautious about that.
Okay. True. And I think the third guy, both of us agreed on this. Harry Bulldog Smith.
I believe Harry has a very good chance of debuting over there. There had been talk a long time ago to bring Harry and Burchill in as a tag team as kind of a reformed new generation British Bulldogs.
That I would not buy, because you do have a power guy in Harry the Bulldog Smith, but I don't think Burchill's that much of a flyer.
He's not, and that's where it kind of falls apart, and probably the main reason why it hasn't happened yet.
Right. So that ends that. Now we get to the draft. Supplemental draft. London and Kendrick go to Raw, and to fill the face tag team void, they get ECW's major brothers, which I'd like to shout, I called it.
No, that one I'll give you, but I called a couple of these a couple of the moves myself.
Right.
I'm the only one who called Benoit to ECW.
Mhm. Well, the dirt sheet said Benoit was going to Raw.
Which he may yet at the end of the year. It depends on what goes on with his ECW title aspirations.
And to be quite honest with you, I don't see ECW continuing until after the contract runs out in December. I honestly don't think so.
Which is interesting, because Sci-Fi cannot afford to lose these guys. They're still one of the, if not the highest rated show on Sci-Fi.
You mean higher than Battlestar Galactica?
What kind of numbers is Battlestar Galactica pulling?
At least twos, at least.
I said one of the.
Okay.
Because ECW has dropped into the upper ones. Still higher than TNA, but nowhere near where they were drawing at the beginning.
Yeah, they were drawing threes. I remember their debut show drew threes. Sure, they petered off into the two range, but that stayed constant until, let's all say it together, 1, 2, 3, December to
disaster.
Right.
I was going to say the Philadelphia Screwjob, but that's just me.
I know, the Philadelphia Screwjob was bad, but you gotta admit, December to disaster was worse.
Yes.
You started saying that on Tyler's old show, and now we're using it. Yeah, Carl?
There's another caller calling in here. I think you're going to like it, Rob. And I'll
Hello, caller?
I better not get no oh no's, otherwise I'm going to fly out to Tacoma and kick your fucking ass.
My God, King, it's Chris Palma. My God, ECW through a table, Chris Palma.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate that.
Nikki, I apologize for this guy right away.
There are worse individuals in the world. I don't know this man yet, and please don't ruin it, sir.
I'll try not to.
Anyways.
Pull off the Aristocrats joke, Chris.
Mm.
Anyways, the reason I say SmackDown also got screwed because they got two divas in the mix with Tori Wilson, who we all admit is useless. Except for
in a wrestling perspective, yes.
And you get one of the few women in WWE who could actually wrestle, that being Victoria.
Right.
Now, Victoria has not been exceptionally relevant to the women's wrestling scene, short of a very brief feud earlier this year. She has had a lot of personal business going on outside of the ring. You realize that recently she sold her pizza place.
Yeah, that was all over WrestleCrap.
And that she is...
WrestleCrap?
Why is that WrestleCrap? Anyway,
I should explain. A lot of the WrestleCrap faithful are big fans of Victoria's. Some of them actually went and took a little trip to Victoria's pizza place.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to get some of her pizza, if you know what I'm saying. Hey, now.
Tyler...
There will be no discussion of pie on this show.
Tyler, I've been trying to keep it clean for like about 2 weeks, two more weeks now, if I any mention of, you know, sexual regions.
I like pizza with a little bit of sausage, pepperoni, cheese, and, you know, maybe some herbs. Not raw
Hamburger
either, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
I have been to that pizza place. It's a very, very small place.
Small place, but it's actually some quite delicious pizza, I believe.
I unfortunately didn't get inside for the meet, greet, and the eat that she had after a house show in Louisville.
Uh-huh.
The place was packed.
I wouldn't doubt that. You know what I actually missed from Victoria? And this is a gimmick that she needs to bring back. We talked about this on IM just a few minutes ago. The crazy bitch Victoria, when she was with Stevie Richards.
Oh, yes.
Now, I'll tell you this right now. That was the best female gimmick that I've seen ever, period.
Yes.
That was just awesome.
Because it showed her in an Amazon-esque light, even somewhat comparable to Jazz, the incredible bitch, because, like, it was when Jazz and Victoria were on the roster together, it was like, holy shit.
Both of them can actually wrestle.
Yes, and that's the best part. I love Jazz, and despite what people may have said about her, dude, I was like, dude, she should have not been fired, honestly, but jackass. At the WWE, another story for another time.
She got rehired for the new ECW, and she got fired again.
She got all of probably two appearances. She was at the house show in Huntington last summer, and even that was a very, very brief appearance. She showed up, she was about ready to kill Kelly, and then Mike Knox ruined that. That actually got booed.
Yeah, it's because everybody hates Kelly.
That's because she is even less useful than Tori Wilson from a wrestling perspective.
She's less useful, period. However, one good thing come out of the SmackDown, they did get rid of The Miz.
Which,
yay,
unfortunately, had his they did a little thing on him tonight on ECW. It sounds like he's only getting a talk segment to start.
Yeah, Miz TV.
I'm not a fan of The Miz. I tried to be a fan of The Miz, but he's just such a slappable individual.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Keep in mind, though, I mean, he wasn't originally a wrestler. He was a reality star who was just a major fan of the plot. And because of his, I guess, his stardom, quote unquote, on, I think it was Real World, and I guess him basically whoring out that he was a big wrestling fan, I think then he went on to the Million Dollar Tough Enough, which was straight on SmackDown, and then I think he ended up taking that one, I think.
He did not win.
Pewter won it.
Pewter won it and had his ceremonious exit at the Royal Rumble the following year when he got chopped to pieces.
Which I proudly own on DVD. I'll play this right now. 2005 Royal Rumble, second best Royal Rumble match ever.
To the 2004 one, perhaps?
Nah. I haven't seen the 2004 Royal Rumble yet, except for that last couple of moments when Benoit won. However,
mm-hmm.
I do know he did go the distance.
Mm-hmm.
But the 2005 Rumble was great, even with the botched ending.
What? Just the fact Vince McMahon injured himself climbing into the ring?
And also the double elimination, which...
Oh, and actually, I liked that, even if it was a botch.
Okay. However, still, best Royal Rumble match ever, 92.
I've been told. I need to sit down and watch that.
Okay,
but
I do have the entire pay-per-view on tape. When we do this trade, I will send you Royal Rumble 92.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, now we've talked more about the draft and other stuff, we need to talk about the other big WWE thing right now. Upcoming pay-per-view, Vengeance, Night of Champions. Which is turned out to shape up to be quite nicely.
And I can confirm for you the ECW title match has been set.
Which is, I believe, Benoit, Punk, Burke, and Corbin?
No. Those were qualifying matches. The winner of those two matches will face the winners of those two matches will face each other at Vengeance.
And those would be?
Chris Benoit versus CM Punk.
Wow.
That is worth my money right there.
Yeah, that's going to be... If I'm Dave Meltzer, I'm already setting up the five-star mark right now. However, since this is WWE, and since he sort of has a bias against WWE, I don't think he's ever had a five-star match with WWE ever since Hart Austin in WrestleMania 13, but that's a star system. It's pathetic anyways. But
okay.
Benoit Punk will be a kick-ass match.
And
however,
I hope they give them the 20 minutes they deserve.
No, I think they're only going to get about 10, 15 at most, 10, 15. Because we got to have room for our WWE Waste of Time title, i.e. the Diva Women's title.
Which won't get 10 minutes itself.
Yeah, that'll get 10 minutes itself because Candice Michelle versus Melina now. Melina on Raw last night debuted a new finisher.
And what did you think?
It was quite a nice finisher. Sort of like a Famouser, but better executed.
Mm-hmm. Well, just better, and in your case, probably better to look at.
I don't know about that, but...
You want to watch Billy Gunn do it?
Huh?
Nothing.
I hate Billy Gunn, to be honest with you. I never liked him. Not in the Smoking Guns, not as Rockabilly, not as Badass Billy Gunn, not as the One Billy Gunn, not with Chuck, not in the Voodoo Kin Mafia, not with the James Gang, Never. I hated Kit James.
Not even Shoguns?
Huh?
Not even Shoguns?
Not
trivia.
Even Shogun. No. Never. Especially since he won the 99 Royal Rumble. When he was king ass.
If it makes you feel any better, you realize he's a punchline now.
Oh, no.
Why is Monty Sapp a punchline? Go.
Because Edge would pick on King of the Ring winners about Billy Gunning their opportunity.
All right. Now, speaking of Edge, it's Batista versus Edge. This one will get 20 minutes.
I'm worried. Mm-hmm.
And 5 minutes is just for the entrances alone.
Yeah.
And a couple $100,000 in pyro. This match worries me.
I know, it's another one of those do-or-die situations for Batista. And you know, when he's always had a do-or-die situation, he's always come out clutch.
Now, wait. We can't call it do-or-die due to the recent events. We just call it a last stand or something like that.
It is a last chance match, is what the name has been changed.
Yes.
And
right.
In most cases, when they see this is your last chance, that's usually when somebody wins. It's not just Dave. And I would be very, very disappointed if they took the belt off Edge.
Right. And either Edge wins and Batista just does something else, or just fucks around with Edge so somebody else could win the world title, or Batista wins the title outright and Edge will have another feud. And now we get to the just recently signed the Raw Tag Team titles. It will be the Hardy Boys versus the Redneck Whirling Dervish of Caden Murdoch.
Ugh.
Now, I hear a groan from Tyler's direction. These four work very well together.
They do, Tyler.
I think I've seen a preview of this match.
No. It wasn't that. No. No, it's not that the tag teams or anything. It's just the fact that if Caden Murdoch win, I don't want to know what kind of celebration they're having, but I've heard it involves pigs, a barn, and hay. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
Tyler, we've been trying to keep
you clean. Can we reach your phone and slap him real quick?
I was never informed this is a clean show.
We're trying to keep it clean. Because we still have a lot of wrestling stuff we got to take care of. I mean, we got a ton of it.
Well,
anyway.
I will say this. I did get to see a preview of this match at a house show in Lexington over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And people are readily buying back into the fact that the Cowboys are heels again. I know that's not hard, especially since the Hardys are so well-loved. Too bad they won't be able to keep a spot early in the match. The usual heels are like, I can't believe all these people are cheering for you. Watch. Trevor jumps up, everybody boos. Jeff jumps up, everybody cheers. Jeff grabs a sign from the crowd and he almost hands it to Murdoch, saying, see, we have fans. You stay out of this. Sorry, I have a peanut gallery tonight.
Hi, peanut gallery.
Huh?
Hi, peanut gallery. It's one of the few times we actually have live fans listening to the show.
I don't know if you want to call them that.
Live or fans?
Does it matter? Anyway. Intercontinental title, it's sort of shaping up to be Santino Marella versus William Regal.
Which I'd like to actually see Regal wrestle. It's, you know, I think
let me double check that for you. Intercontinental title. I have, officially from the WWE site, Santino Marella versus Umaga.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Bye-bye, Santino. Au revoir.
Wait, but you got to consider, there could also be some interference on Santino's behalf. Who knows who it could be? But
not this time, I'm afraid. Lashley's tied up in the main event.
Actually, given the interaction do you think William Regal would actually interfere just for the sake of Santino retaining so that he knows he would have a clean shot at actually trying to win? Regal knows he can beat Santino. I don't think he also knows he can't beat Umaga.
I think you got it right on the head there. Regal will interfere. Santino will keep the title via fluke, which he's sort of done over the past few weeks. And that will nicely set up a Raw, a Regal Santino Morella feud, maybe to be finished at SummerSlam or the next pay-per-view after that. Or the next pay-per-view after Vengeance, which sadly is the Great American Trash.
Don't talk to me about that pay-per-view. There has not been a good one yet. Although last year's wasn't bad. The first
two... There hasn't been a good Great American Bash pay-per-view ever since WCW made them.
Last year's wasn't bad. The year before and the year before that were horrid. I got free tickets to 05, and I felt gypped.
Even for free tickets, you felt gypped from 05. I can understand that. That's why they decided to put up the 05 Great American Bash for Pick Your Big One.
Mm-hmm.
For WWE 24/7. I'm picking 90. Because they have 90, 96, and 2005.
Right.
I know Carl's picking 96. I'm picking 90 because I have 96 on tape.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, to me, the best WCW pay-per-view ever made. And go on from there.
Right.
Now we got the Raw main event. Which is Lashley, King Booker, Randy Orton, Mick Foley, and the WWE Champion, John Cena.
One of these things is not like the others.
The other. And his name is Randy Kendall Orton.
I'm not as worried about this match as you might think. Randy Orton ended the show with momentum. And you know the momentum rule.
Yep, that means he ain't winning.
Exactly.
Lashley went down to defeat, so he's got a shot. And Foley just got decimated on Raw, so he ain't winning.
I wasn't expecting Foley to win. Foley is not interested in a full-time schedule at this point.
Mm-mm.
I would love to see King Booker with it. Of course,
yeah.
That's a pipe dream.
Actually, I go along with it. King Booker was greatest champion on SmackDown. Maybe they had that as sort of a testing ground to see how well he would go as the Raw champion.
Mm-hmm.
And King Booker's reign, his 5-month reign as champion at SmackDown, that was a damn good run.
And this would open up tons of new possibilities. One of the principal reasons it came back to me that Booker was moved to Raw because he's been on SmackDown for 3 years. He's pretty much fought everybody.
And not only that, he was just battling through an injury, and he also has been running, I believe, his training school in Texas?
In Houston, yeah.
Houston, Texas, okay.
That I wonder if his brother's even tangentially involved.
Ooh, Stevie Ray?
Yeah.
Well, because Suck has got to know, and honestly, I don't know. But this Suck has got to know.
Yeah, and they won't tell this yak nothing. Sorry.
You sad sack ass fruit booty.
Thank you for quoting that correctly.
Question, do you think they'll ever turn him back into the Booker T gimmick, or do you think they're gonna leave him with the King Booker thing?
Not unless he's out for like a year. Where the normal normal WWE fan base would have forgotten him by then. Then he could re-debut with the Booker T gimmick, minus Queen Charmel. Aside from that, he will always be All Hail King Booker.
All Hail King Booker. Anyway,
I believe we've covered every title. No, we still have 2 titles left to cover, the SmackDown lower tier titles.
Go ahead.
MVP versus Ric Flair.
Ooh.
I still think this is a setup for a Flair-MVP feud.
Mm-hmm.
Which will culminate SummerSlam, however, with MVP going over. So I think Flair will get the title. Hold it for a couple of months just to build some momentum for himself, get him back into a new show. then MVP could take the belt right back at SummerSlam, sort of build him up to be a main event heel for next year.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of view that as a long-term plan for MVP. And I got to turn lights on because it's getting dark out here. There we go.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, Carl.
Oh, hello, Carl.
Before we go on, let's go ahead and break since it's halfway through the show. We'll be right back, guys. And welcome back to what Rob described earlier of the East-West for tonight, I guess. It's still the same show. And now back to our topic at hand of Rob talking about Stevie Ray's and Suckers Guts to Know.
Thank you, Sucker. Anyway, now we're getting into the... welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the East-West Wrestling Connection. Robert Seidelman joined by the East Coast side, Tyler Brown, Nikki Heyman, and Christopher A. Palmer.
Who has yet to be heard from. So, did his call get dropped?
Who knows?
Sorry?
Oh, I haven't heard from Chris. That's why I was wondering if his call got dropped.
Well, he got a poor dog barking in the background, so I don't think so.
Mm.
Anyway, SmackDown Tag Titles now. This hasn't been decided yet, but we know Deuce and Domino will be defending. How come I feel that it's going to be Major's brothers?
How else would you get them to agree to leave ECW? They were the ECW marks who wanted to be there.
True.
And I think it would be a little bit more exciting. I'm trying to like Deuce and Domino. I really am. Deuce is a great guy. I just, the gimmick is still not really gelling with me.
You're saying you don't like guys that are all about cool?
I like Carlito.
Yeah, that's different, though.
That's a different kind of cool. Now, I realize the Fonzie brothers here are really trying so hard. Domino, I just want to walk up and slap him.
Well, because I remember when he... I remember this correctly. I've seen it on YouTube. Wasn't he originally Dice Domino? He was sort of a 50s greaser's gimmick. Still the 50s greaser gimmick, but more accentuated with Andrew Dice Clay.
Was that what Domino was doing originally?
Yeah.
That's true, because Deuce had a complete, had a much more modern gimmick out of OVW, and he actually got to try it out. For Velocity back in late 2005.
Which is cool.
Domino just rubs me the wrong way, which is probably a good thing. I think that's what he's trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the entertaining rub me the wrong way.
It's more the annoying kind of way.
Right.
Yeah, I know how that goes. Some people try to kid around with a friend of mine about who he is and rubs me completely the wrong way, although they try to be cute, especially when they put me into the mix. Anyway, that's a different story for a different day.
Right.
Final one of the night. Final bit of information for Vengeance. Cruiserweight Championship on the line. It's Chavo Guerrero versus Jimmy Wang Yang.
Ooh, Chavo.
Ooh, where's Chavo been?
Ooh, buried in dark matches and, dark matches.
Is that still because, is his contract still up in the air?
I think so. I think his contract is still up in the air. However, since Vicky is now getting more on-air roles, I think she re-upped, and I think Chavo might re-up as well. Because here's a telltale sign. If Chavo wins, he's probably re-upped. If Chavo loses, he hasn't re-upped yet, or he won't re-up.
So the question is, though, if he doesn't re-up, where would he go? Do you think he'd go to TNA and Protector or what? No?
No, I don't think so. I think he might take it easy for about a couple years or so, then probably... I think it might be a good fit in Ring of Honor, or go to AAA.
He'd be welcome just about anywhere. And I don't think TNA would be a very good fit for him, because I'm worried that they would either... they would either try to find a way to wedge him in with LAX, or he would end up being pretty much a, he would pretty much be defending Hector, who doesn't need defending right now. He's got plenty, he's already got allies.
Yeah, he's got Rhino, Petey Williams, and Wildcat Chris Harris.
Exactly. So he doesn't, Chavo, I'm not saying Chavo wouldn't be welcome, it would just be, we'd have trouble finding a place for him.
And now we get to the last part of the WWE. Actually, before we talk about the Vince McMahon death storyline, we must have a moment of silence for sensational Sherry Martel. She passed away on Friday. She was 50 years old. Truly one of the best women's wrestlers, bar none. And may we have a brief moment of silence for sensational Sherry Martel. Amen. Vaya con Dios, sensational Sherry. You will be missed.
Now, one thing I got to say about that is, as far as what I'm hearing, as far as toxicology reports, they were hearing that they have not been, they're obviously not finished, but they're saying that they're not going to rule out a drug issue or anything like that. Because they're saying, they're at least sure it's not natural causes.
All right.
They are sure of that. They just don't know what exactly it was.
Okay. And if you want to get into the show, ladies and gentlemen, we still got about 20 minutes left of talking various wrestling stories. Call in at 718-664-6589. That is 718-664-6589. Call in, ask us your questions if you want to leave a comment or something about how well we're doing, how bad TNA is sucking, or how much you want to kill Vincent Russo, Nikki?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I know. Just call in. We're welcoming new people here. Anyway, the Vincent Kennedy McMahon death angle is going full force. I do believe that they will go full throttle with it ever since the ratings came out, and it got a 4.
Yeah.
Well, the few times
Raw actually... Grasshopper.
Sorry?
I was throwing around. Very good, Grasshopper.
Well, it's a good news, bad news situation. It's good news that I don't have to see Vince. The bad news is that everybody's talking about it.
Okay.
I don't feel it overshadows the show. It was a very good show last night.
Especially the Kennedy promo.
Awesome. The only thing I don't like right now with the McMahon situation is the fact that with death and stuff, I know they can't just predict that stuff, but it's just the fact that this McMahon death angle, which is being taken like a joke in some parts of the media, and some of these people are taking it as gospel truth, as if Vinnie Mac really is legitimately dead. And then the fact that Sherry dies, you know, this is one of the greatest wrestling managers of all time, and they just throw her a little blurb on WWE.com towards the bottom of the page, you know? Shit.
They also gave her, like, about a 15-second still frame on, I believe, the start of the second hour on Monday Night Raw last night.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but she's somebody who does deserve a 10-bell salute. It is hard to find a true female manager, not just a valet, not eye candy, a manager
who can kick someone's ass in a heartbeat and still manage the best of them.
And right, the closest we've got right now is Tracy Brooks.
Even with her size 38 triple Ds. Anyways, I think another one that would fit the bill would be Medusa. Remember Medusa?
I do.
She could legitimately kick your ass, even in the Russo-rific WCW when she had Hooters the size of Mount Rushmore.
Vince has a very fine line to walk when it comes to this angle. I have read that there might even be stockholders that are pissed that he's faking his death.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you know, the fact that there was actually little tributes outside of the Stanford offices is telling to what how much people really buy into what's going on.
Right. Television is a bit, you and me both, Nikki knows, because we both had college majors in this. Both of us are television broadcast production graduates.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very big, broad medium. You put something out there, and if it catches on somewhere, it's going to spread like wildfire. Just like
right.
This angle has. Just like the NWO angle did back in 96.
Right, and what makes
and
the tricky part is... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And just how bad everybody crapped on the Katie Vick storyline in 2002. And
mm-hmm.
which, that storyline alone, I hold that one responsible for driving away a whole bunch of fans that the WWE garnered out of the out of this whole Monday Night War. They were still tuning in to WWE. But
right.
It came in 2002, you saw that storyline on Raw. Because SmackDown's been garnering the same amount of ratings. It has been for the past few years. But a lot of people still watch Raw. And when they saw that storyline go down, they're thinking, nah, that's definitely crossing the line. Click. Done.
Mm-hmm.
That offended a whole bunch of people.
And Vince, you know, Vince continued to offend people on and off with little things like Al Wilson.
Bad. Actually,
well, not only that, but he did use the N-word in a promo.
When was that, Taylor?
Remember, I think he was trying to make fun of Crime Time or something, and he used the N-word. There's a, I've got an audio clip where he said, move it up my ends. Like, I don't know if this is when he started the ECW champion thing and he did the do-rag or if it was...
Yeah,
it had to
that had to be when
that.
He...
Yeah, no, that was well before that.
Oh,
yeah,
well before that.
It was before Mania. I remember the promo you're talking about, where he's trying to act cool and he actually says, "What's up, my nigga?" Sorry.
Yeah.
No, that's okay. Yeah. You're quoting, so that's cool.
But did that really generate a lot of outrage?
Oh yes, it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Especially The Rock. The Rock, who would be coming in later that year, in 2003.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said in an interview, what the hell kind of a person thinks a necrophilia angle will go over well? He actually said that in the McMahon DVD interview of him. The McMahon DVD interview.
And he has every right to complain, because we all did. The only good thing that came out of the Katie Vick storyline was the proctology video.
Yes, the Hurricane Proctology video is classic. And I should do a brief plug for WrestleCrap. I've been ordered to do so by Blade Braxton. New induction is the Amanda Ultimate Warrior storyline. The Amanda Ultimate Warrior segment from the Brother Love Show in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on YouTube, believe it or not. Look up Amanda Ultimate Warrior on YouTube. You'll actually see the crappiness in itself. And trust me, it's really crappy.
Mm. Let's
and I implore you, listen to WrestleCrap Radio. It is way better than our show. And plus, Artie Reynolds, the owner of WrestleCrap.com, and Blade Braxton really pour their heart and soul into that show. It's a really great show. So spend your time listening to that show. You won't be disappointed. Now that I'm done shilling, it's time to talk about the big stories coming out of TNA right now. And I turned this 5 minutes, actually not really 5 minutes. This segment will be mainly dominated by Nick Gaiman, who has first eye experience when it comes to talking about the Slammiversary pay-per-view, which just happened.
Indeed, I did. I attended the entire weekend. Nashville, Tennessee was hot, and not necessarily, and that doesn't mean, I'm not talking about a loud crowd. It was 90 plus degrees outside the entire weekend. I attended the fan festival on Saturday, and everybody was very upbeat. I had heard rumor, and this is only rumor, that TNA may have gotten their 2 hours, and we might see that as soon as September or October of this year. That's probably one of the reasons why a lot of people were very happy. A couple of people were not quite up there. Team 3D was a little skeptical about their pay-per-view because they knew of the Scott Steiner situation.
Reading from OWW.com saying that Skinder's got a messed up throat because he's been talking too much, when in all actuality we should explain that this incident happened at a TNA house event in Mexico with everybody's favorite LAX screw-up, Apollo. And a brief explanation about Apollo. In 2006, when they're actually starting out the LAX gimmick with Apollo, Machete, and Homicide, with those three as a stable and with Conan just managing, Apollo no-showed a pay-per-view. I think this was... No, it couldn't be Sacrifice. It was either Sacrifice or Destination X.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those two. Apollo no-showed. And he got kicked out of TNA. He got kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Jarrett decided to give him a second chance, which I understand completely. Some people do deserve a second chance. However, he royally screwed that up when, during a rude Steiner versus Jarrett Apollo match, Apollo kicked Scott Steiner clean in the throat. I'm not talking about the side of the throat. Side of the throat's the back of the throat. We're talking Adam's apple right here.
Mm-hmm.
And when Scott Steiner woke up in the morning, he was coughing up blood and everything. If he didn't get immediate medical help, he would have died.
Which led to the tracheotomy that he had while he was still in Puerto Rico.
Mm-hmm.
And they had their fingers crossed all through Saturday. The announcement, TNA did not make a formal announcement to fans, either because they trust their fans, or they had their fingers crossed that they would have the miracle of Scott Steiner showing up. It was not mentioned by anyone in TNA on air until the pay-per-view.
And the surprise that we got out of that, which it sort of made me wish I would have bought the pay-per-view.
Grab a replay, because the audience just went absolutely bananas. And I should probably just go down the list in order. For everything that happened, we did open with the last-minute change of Rhino and Senshi versus LAX. They did find something else for Chris Harris to do. Rhino and Senshi meshed very well against Latin American Exchange. Minor interference from Hector Guerrero. Very solid opener. Let's see. Chris Sabin and Black Machismo Jay Lethal, always a good match. A little on the short side. But congratulations to Black Machismo for winning the TNA X Division Championship.
And boo for TNA, but we'll explain that one later on the show, if we have time.
Frank Wycheck and Jerry Lynn versus James Storm and Truth Killings. This is pretty much your throwaway match of the night. Wycheck did try very hard to get things done out there. I think the highlight for us for the match was there were a small group of us in the corner chanting, Cena fuck you at Killing.
Huh?
We chanted
that,
Cena. We were chanting, Cena punked you at Killing.
When did he do this?
This refers to the incident when Cena and Killings crossed paths at an airport a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Now I got it.
And he acknowledged the chant. He didn't get mad, but he at least acknowledged it.
It sort of shocked me, though, that Killings, who was normally a face, who has been a face for quite a while, teamed with a full-blown heel in Cowboy James Storm. That boggled my mind.
this was a huge, this was a very strange match in itself. You know, of course, Wycheck won, being, you know, the hometown favorite and all that. But not relevant to future things. The right. match that confused me was the next one, which was Mr. Backlund versus Alex Shelley. The fact that Backlund actually won this match, the fact that we had several ex-divisioners come out and just cause a great big schmoz.
But, and then came out Kevin Nash.
And Kevin Nash left with the Motor City Machine Guns, leaving Jay Lethal out to dry.
And I sort of believe that this was going to happen. Kevin Nash was just a mentor, not a full-blown manager for, and I sort of expected this. Because as both of us know, Kevin Nash was just a mentor, not a manager for Jay Lethal. He was just mentoring Jay Lethal and Sanjay Dutt.
Mm-hmm.
However, he is a manager of sorts to Alex Shelley.
Mm-hmm.
Now they bring in Chris Sabin into this fold. Now you have a triple threat of Motor City Machine Guns. It's both of them are from Detroit or in close proximity.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Shelley, Kevin Nash from Detroit, Michigan. Sabin not far off in Hell, Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Sabin,
no?
Say
Let's
that again,
see.
Tyler?
I said Chris Sabin is from Hell?
Yep. Hell, Michigan.
See, that would make
Although some people, he claims he's from another planet sometimes. Anyway, BKM versus Basham, Damaja, and Christy. This is an angle I totally disapprove of.
And not just for the sole fact that it's booked by Russo.
Well, not only because it's booked by Russo, BKM are the faces, and Christy saying all the right things, maybe not the right way.
Yeah, that's probably the wrong. I think that's probably where this angle gets blurred here.
But what was the fun part of all of this was that Lance Hoyt did get involved. But since he hadn't really been doing much for VKM, he's turned his back on them, and he won Christy. As far as
We're
I can tell, he won Christy. He carried her out with the biggest shit-eating grin on his face. Pardon my French, but it was the grin. He was the happiest man on the planet.
Well, if I was with Christy Hemme, I'd be too.
Let's see. Eric Young, Robert Roode. Excellent match is. This was a little too. This was a two-parter. We haven't seen a match restart in a little bit. Roode initially was going to get Eric Young out of there, but the interference was spotted by TNA manager Jim Cornette, and he ordered the match restarted. Eric Young won the second part of the bout, which I cannot comment on because everybody was standing at this point, and they're all taller than me. Which isn't hard, but, I mean, worse than usual. Now, the pleasant surprise of the evening, and I do have to comment on this. T3D were more than willing to have this match. Rick Steiner said that he was going to go out there regardless, and that, yes, he had found another partner.
Partner turns out to be...
The roof came off when out emerged Road Warrior Animal.
And what a rush.
Indeed. The crowd went crazy, and I think even Brother Ray marked out a little bit at the prospect. Now, what made this very interesting is the dynamic changed with the Steiners being the ones that had been bad-mouthing Team 3D. All of a sudden, Rick and Animal were the good guys with history on their side, and they were actually booing Team 3D at points during this match. Since this was a one-shot deal, Team 3D was pretty much guaranteed to win this match.
Yeah, and correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't they booed at the end?
Yes, they were.
I sort of figured that as much. The TNA fans are really turning their backs on Team 3D. They do not like them at all.
Which probably wouldn't... So this might be a good time to go ahead and turn them, because I don't think they've been healed yet.
Not in TNA. And this would be the best... And that would be best, because... Throughout the history of Team 3D, the Dudley Boys, they are always best when heel. And for proof of this, I suggest you find Heatwave 99 for their infamous promo.
Well, here's the question I have for Nikki. Now, Nikki, I had seen that you had had a picture of the Dudleys, correct?
Yes.
Now, from the picture I saw, they looked extremely pissed off more than anything. Was I getting the wrong expression or what?
Well, they were, like I said, they were not in the highest of spirits just because of all the chaos generated by the fact that they weren't going to be facing the Steiners.
Right.
Bubba was in a reasonable mood. He usually picks on me when I show up. Devon digs me. But they were actually very thankful when I showed up. I had pictures of them from lockdown holding up the NWA titles. So I think it was just the fact that this was early in the fan fest and it was a little crazy to start. So, and it's hard to get Bubba to smile.
And I hate to do this to you, Nikki, but we got to wrap it up sort of, and we only got about 3 minutes left in the show.
All right, I'll make some real quick ones. Sting over Fall Angel Christopher Daniels, but we know this one isn't over yet. This versus Tom Coat, this is a sick match. If you like a hardcore match, you need to see this one. This was very good. The crowd was really into it, and this was just a very scary, twisted match. Main event, this is where Wildcat Chris Harrison had popped up. I believe he this was a gimme from Jeff Jarrett. Chris Harrison has been with the company since the beginning, and they felt that he deserved this shot. I found this match very good, but I was very disappointed. The match felt like it kind of stopped.
That is bad for a main event. That can't happen.
Exactly. Now, you know, kudos to Kurt Angle. He put on, everybody out there put on a very good match, but not everybody was qualified. AJ Styles had been unconscious on the floor from jumping off the penalty box through the announce table. But otherwise, you know, this was a good match. I just was very disappointed in the way it ended.
So, as it stands right now, Kurt Angle is your TNA champion. Black Machismo Jay Lethal was your X Division champion. I'll explain that. And Team 3D is your TNA Tag Champions.
Correct.
Now, with Impact coming up, I must advise everybody, the main event for the X Division title, Samoa Joe versus Chris Sabin and Black Machismo Jay Lethal, the champion. If you are a fan of Jay Lethal and you're wanting to see a good-sized run, you're not going to get it. Because earlier in the show, Jim Cornette stated that it will be the TNA champion and X Division champion going up against the tag team champions, and whoever wins in that match wins all of the belts.
Which is just strange.
And I think this is a Dutch Mantel thing. He's the only one in TNA that I could pick that would do this sort of thing.
That's true. Even Russo calls them toys, but at least he respects that much to keep them spread out.
Well, there's one exception to that rule, and that's Lance Storm. However, he did rebuild credibility to those three belts.
Exactly. That was a good storyline. We don't have a storyline here.
Right. So it is, and Samoa Joe wins the match, by the way. I really need to wrap this up.
So
Samoa Joe wins that match, so we're probably looking for Victory Road 07, Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe versus Team 3D for the winner-take-all match, and you'll probably look to see Kurt Angle and Samoa Joe winning the tag titles from the Dudley Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And with that noted, it's time to end this cavalcade of happiness. Tyler Brown, Nick Hammond, I personally thank both of you for appearing on the show.
Thank you.
No problem.
And for the not-too-distant Carl Chenier, who is not here anymore, or he's still managing controls, I am Robert Q. Seidelman saying good night and fight on, ladies and gentlemen. Good night, Jamie. Good night, Tony. Peace.
Good night, Canada.